Michael, I'm glad you're bringing out this very practical point. Because I think it's the link between being a good soldier, not entangling. The start in verse 2. It says, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What is it that drives a person that's in the military? Well, it's a belief in a system of things that they're willing to give their lives for, right? After 9/11, when this country was attacked and many persons were killed, they say that there was a spike in those who voluntarily enlisted in the military to protect the values of America. And it was because young men and young women believed in the freedom that they have in this country, and they're willing to die for it. So there's the Constitution of the United States. There's the Bill of Rights. There's standards. There are liberties that all embody who we are as a nation, what we believe, and those freedoms that are attached to it. And these young men and women said, we're willing to put our lives on the line for the things that have been entrusted into our hands from the founding fathers. That's what that verse 2 means. Paul says, is there a cause? Is there a reason why we want to be a good soldier? Is there a reason why we want to not be entangled with the things of this life? Well, it's what Paul entrusted into the hands of Timothy in the first chapter. And I want us as young men, young sisters, to understand, we have a wonderful spiritual legacy as Christians. And I'm not talking about us as a group of believers, but as those who are Christians, that the Word of God that has been put into the hands of generations before us, that has been passed down, it is that which we want to uphold and guard, the entrusted Word of God. That is what has to motivate me. First, it is going out unto Christ. He is the one who we are following. He's the commander-in-chief. And it is His Word. It is His Constitution, the Word of God, that motivates me now to be a good soldier. And if it's anything less than understanding that, well, you know what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to get entangled. Because I don't have a sense of the value of the Word of God that's been put in our hands to hold, to defend, to love, to read, to know. The soldiers know exactly what the Constitution, you know, I know a soldier that he travels with the Constitution of the United States in his pocket. Most of them know it by memory. Because that is what they are defending.
Mm-hmm. It would be helpful to say this. The word soldier, as it is here in this verse, it is the only time in the New Testament mentioned in relationship to a believer. The word is mentioned approximately 24 times, but it's always the soldiers of, you know, you read it in the New Testament language, I mean in the Gospels. The second one, the word soldier, is different than the first one. The second one is, it is in relationship to words that have been uttered for that person to become a soldier. The second one is a soldier in action. See the difference? So the enlisting has been done by the word. And the one that enlisted all of us is no one but Christ. So we're all soldiers. But the difference is this. Getting into action as a soldier, the scripture says, as a good soldier. You know what happens? We've been talking wonderful things about those who will go through training. But we all know it. In different places, you can either be a good soldier or you can either be a bad soldier. So the exhortation over here is to be in the line of that which is good. When you read the word good, I would like you to always highlight it. It's a matter of quality. The word good in the Bible, it speaks of quality. And dear ones, old and young, but especially the young ones, Since we are all enlisted as being soldiers, the Lord is looking for these qualities that would be seen in individuals who are willing to please Him, that have enlisted that person, and not to be entangled with things that will hinder the warfare, if you will. So I just wanted to bring it forth. It is a matter of we're all in it, and we have to make a decision. Whether I be honorable to be a good soldier or not care about this wonderful privilege and just completely ignore it. So the Lord is looking for quality, and may the Lord give us such a quality.
So verse 3 then is the call to action, isn't it?
Yes.
Verse 1 gives us that grace in which we is that ever fresh spring of resource that we can go to, that never fails. That's verse 1. Verse 2 has been brought before us is the truth. We have grace in verse 1, truth in verse 2, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth, the Word of God, this is what's been given to us. Now we come to verse 3, and he says, now stand up for it. This is the call to action. This is what you've got. These are your resources. This is what we stand for. Now are you going to stand? That's verse 3. And you're going to, and if you're going to stand, then all these other things are not going, need to be set aside, need to be crucified. Right? Need to be cut off in order to, for us to move forward now in association with the one who is our leader. Okay? We heard about him this morning. Our teacher. Our leader. The one we're following. He's the captain of our salvation. Okay? He's the captain of the guard. Right? And he says, now, I want my soldiers to stand. And this is what we're standing for. We've raised the flag. We've planted it. Now we're going to stand in association for that flag, and we're going to stand for it.
I believe we start to entangle ourselves when we take our sights off Christ. There are two examples in the Old Testament. One of Lot, when he lifted up his eyes and he saw that the plains were well watered, and we all know the story. That's where he went astray, and later on, he had to be rescued. And also, 2 Samuel, when David sinned against Uriah, he lifted up his eyes and he saw a woman. We all know the story. And lastly, in the New Testament, Peter, who he asked Jesus if he can walk in the water, and he said, "Yeah, come along." And when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to drown. And I think that's when we fall. You're commanded many times in the New Testament to look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And there's a lovely hymn that we always sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." So once we continue to look upon Christ, and we won't fail and we won't falter because we're looking upon him.
It says in 2 Timothy 1:7 at the beginning of the letter, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So any entanglement would keep you from your power. It would corrupt your love, and it would make unsound your sound mind.
Is entanglement always a sin? Or can it be those things which are normal for everyday life but take our focus off of the Lord? I think of Haggai when he says, you know, "Do you dwell in your paneled houses and leave my temple in ruins?" And I studied that many years ago. And I can never forget it because those people were just living their lives. They weren't really doing anything wrong. They were working. They were making food for their families and their kids. And the Lord says, you know, all that you have done is defiled towards me. And I think of Paul when he speaks of the athlete in Hebrews, well, I guess we don't know if it's Paul, but in Hebrews, speaking of the athlete, when he speaks of a weight that slows an athlete down, and he speaks of a sin and he speaks of a weight, and the weight is not necessarily a sin, but it's something that slows us down in our Christian lives. And I think we really have to look closely at this, because these are the things in our lives that we justify, that we say that we have to do as part of our responsibility as a male or a female, as a father, as a child, as a young person, as a student, as an employer or employee. We justify these things and we have to do them. But if they take our time away from the Lord, if they take our focus off of Him, then perhaps they are now entangling us and weighing us down in our own spiritual lives. Mm-hmm.